Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful for today. Thank you for everyone that's here. And I thank you that we can have a good time and that we can worship you, that we can see your kingdom grow and know that you're the one that's behind it all. So we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. There's a man, I don't really know much about him. I only saw him one time. His name was Sidlow Baxter. Sidlow Baxter went to be with the Lord in 1999. He had to be over 100 years old. Because when I first saw him, I was in a room, a large room, actually a gym, with 3,000 other people back in the 80s, and Marilyn was there. And there's this elderly-looking gentleman. He wasn't an old gentleman. He was fairly young. He couldn't be over, he's probably 82 or something like that. And he walks out on the stage and sits at a black grand piano. And he teaches everyone a simple song. It's amazing what praising can do. And I still remember him. He was from England and ministered in Australia. And he would get on that piano and just go up and down the piano. And he'd go, "Oh, my little ones, it is amazing what praising can do." And then he'd sing this song, "It's amazing what praising can do." One of my friends is in a fraternity, changed the words to say it's amazing what hazing can do. But it didn't take away from what he was doing. That here's a gentleman of that age enjoying teaching the little ones that it's amazing what praising can do. And I don't even remember any other words than that. That's all I need to remember. Because when I think about him, I hope that I am able to sing like that from the heart when I get to be the age that Sidlow Baxter was. And now that he's gone to be with the Lord, I have a feeling that when I get to heaven and I look at the glory of the throne of God, I'm going to be looking over the shoulder of people like Sidlow Baxter, who loved the Lord throughout his entire life. And you probably know people like that. There's people like that in our church. There's people like that in our church a lot who have gone to be with the Lord, but while they were here, they made an impact because they loved the Lord. I remember Omer Owen. He lived to be 160. He was 104. I hadn't even moved down here yet. And when he passed away and went to be with the Lord, we had his funeral, and it was difficult, like funerals are, but it was wonderful. And I remember a great sense of clarity in my mind as I was preparing for this funeral when it dawned on me, and I believe he even said this in the service, that he was singing to the Lord in his house, preparing for choir, and then he paused to change location, and then in a moment, he was standing in the presence of the Lord, and he continued his singing. And I imagine it was a glorious occasion, and still is, and there's people like that. That we will look over their shoulder, because they will be closer to the Lord, and what I hope, and even with people that are here that exhibit that same character, that same quality of loving the Lord, I hope that as I grow older, and I hope that for our church, that as we grow older, we would still think about how amazing it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that what's going to happen is that we are going to enjoy the Lord in ways that we can't even imagine. Now today we want to look at someone who I think had that quality. It's a person that we're going to look at. Her name was Anna. And her story is very brief. It's found in Luke chapter 2. It's found in the passage starting in verse 36, just after the one we talked about last week when we looked at Simeon. And you know the setting. Simeon was there with Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the temple. They'd gone to the temple in order to do the things according to the law because they wanted to be obedient to the law. And those people who love the Lord. And there's always people in every generation. And in a sense, it really is like a circle that's unbreakable. That God raises up people who love the Lord and bless them with that love. And we gain from them. And Anna, I think, was a person like that. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, it says this. It says, "There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, And then was a widow until she was 84. Now, some translations say a widow for 84 years. So you can kind of figure in your mind, if you want something to do, how old she very likely could have been. And then it said she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And then it says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption or to the consolation or to the peace of Jerusalem. So get a picture of Anna in your mind. You can speculate a little bit. She had probably been through a lot. She had been widowed for decades. She had been with her husband for 7 years. We don't really know. And then he was out of the picture. And we don't really know what her family situation was like. But we do know she spent all her time in the temple. She either literally lived in the temple or was close enough to the temple that she was there every day. Now, given the fact that she hadn't had a husband for so long, it's probably safe to say that she didn't have much in the way of possessions, that she didn't have very much in the way of money. Maybe by now she didn't really have a family. Maybe in a sense, physically, she was alone. You know, maybe she didn't have much family to share whatever the Jewish holidays were during the different times of the year. And yet she was in the temple every day. Now some people might look at her, because you know the temple had commotion going on, and they had people meeting each other, and there was buying and selling, and there was sacrificing, and there was those who were intent and faithful and wanted to follow the law. It was a gathering place spiritually and physically and to an extent socially. And so there's a lot going on. And then here's this woman who spent all her time fasting and praying. And I picture, because she fasted so much, she's probably a frail woman. And it could be that people, as they passed back and forth through the temple, maybe they noticed her and they said, man, she's here all the time. She needs to get a life. She keeps walking back and forth. Maybe somebody's going to knock her over and she's not going to be able to get up. She needs to watch herself. And you know, she needs just to be able to do more, to get a life. Maybe they're talking about her that way. Oh, there's that old lady again. Not really understanding who she was or what she's like. But if they were thinking that way, I would be willing to bet she didn't let what people thought of her. And she didn't let all the pains and troubles that she had in her life, and I'm sure she had some, because we all do, she didn't let those get to her, because it was obvious from this passage that she was a woman that loved the Lord. And she immersed herself in the Word of God. If she's in the temple every day, then she is hearing the Word of God. She would be there for the daily reading. She'd be there for the services on the Sabbath, and she would hear portions of the Word of God over and over, over 5,000 times, if you extrapolate the number of years that she had lived and the amount of time that she spent in the temple. And some of them she would hear over and over again. One of those was probably Psalm 92, which is known as the Sabbath Psalm. In Psalm 92, verses 1 and verse 12 through 15, it says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Remember, she's in the temple every day, proclaiming the love of the Lord day and night. "To the music of the ten-string lyre and the melody of the harp, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon." They lived a long time. "Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of the Lord. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Think about a tree for a minute. Think about a tree and what a tree has to go through to grow very old. And there are trees around here and in other parts of the world that indeed are very, very, very old. Enos Mills, in the story The Thousand Year Pine, wrote this: "It is almost a marvel that trees should live to become the oldest of living things, fastened in one place. Their struggle is incessant and severe. From the moment a baby tree is born, from the instant it casts its tiny shadow upon the ground until death, it is in danger from insects and animals. It cannot move to avoid danger. It cannot run away to escape enemies. Fixed in one spot, almost helpless, it must endure flood and drought, fire and storm, insects and earthquakes, or it will die." You know, in a way, that's not just describing a tree, that's describing a human And that's in a way describing the prophetess, Anna. She was old, but she was like a tree. And she was making it. She was able to withstand whatever there was to withstand because her roots were firmly planted. She was old, but she was hanging in there. She was planted in the temple where she would hear the word of God and the roots would sink down deep. And the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers." A righteous man, a devout man. That's how we described Simeon last week. And that's how we can describe Anna, because she immersed herself in the Word of God. Because she was there at the temple every day. And she was fasting and she was praying and she was praising God. And she may have been poor and she may not have had too much to show on the outside. But my guess is that she, according to this verse, it's easy to believe that she had a pretty prosperous life, maybe not physically, but certainly deep down, spiritually and internally. And now here she was, all this time in the temple faithfully, and now she sees a commotion going on with Mary and Joseph and Jesus and Simeon, and she hears Simeon begin to talk to Mary and to Joseph. It was her first Christmas before there even was Christmas, because she was there in the presence of the Lord. Her first Christmas was actually spent in the presence of this little baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to change the world. She was there in his physical presence. That reminds me of another woman. Reminds me of Mary. Remember, Jesus leaned over to Mary while her sister Martha was scurrying about preparing the meal and everything, and was a little frustrated that Mary wasn't helping her. And Jesus leaned over to Mary and said, "Mary, you have chosen the good part." And I'd like to think that if this little baby Jesus could talk with Anna there in his presence, maybe he would look up at Anna and say, "You're in my presence. You have chosen the good part." Being in the presence of Jesus Christ. And then Anna hears Simeon praise God as he takes Jesus into his arms, and Mary and Joseph are still marveling at everything that had been going on, from not just this time in the temple, but from way back before the birth of Jesus. And in that passage right before this, it says that they were marveling. And then Anna drew closer as she heard Simeon talk to Mary and to Joseph, and to say to them that this child will be a child of great worth. And remember, it said that many would rise and fall because of him. And that's true. Herod the great king of the day, who sought to kill the baby Jesus, died of a disease. He fell. Or Pilate, the governor, remember at the end of Jesus' life, publicly mocked him and declared him the king of the Jews, but didn't really believe it inside. Judas denied him. He fell. He literally fell. He went out and hung himself. And then the Jewish leadership that rejected Jesus, only several decades later, the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. And many more would fall. But many more would rise, because this baby Jesus, who is the stone that the builders rejected, became the cornerstone, not just of Israel, but for the life of so many people, for the life of the people that are here now that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Nicodemus? He rose. He stepped out of the darkness at night and said, "Jesus, what must I do to be born again?" Because he wanted to have faith in Jesus and wanted to know how to do it. And Jesus told him. Or we think of other people. We think of Levi, the publican, who became Matthew and became an apostle. Or remember Zacchaeus, "Hey, come down from that tree." And he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Or the thief on the cross, who was there in the presence of the full-grown Jesus 30 years after Anna was in his presence of the baby Jesus, and said, "Save me." And Jesus said, "Okay, today you will be with me in paradise."
Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our church, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of everyone who puts their faith and trust in Him, and of everyone whose names are written in the book of life throughout the centuries. And they will rise one day to this banquet table that Jesus is preparing for us now. And Anna was one of those people, and we will be there with her one day, probably looking over her shoulder at the glory of the throne. So what does this passage report that Anna actually did after she met the baby Savior? And what did she do prior to that? Well, when she met Jesus, the first thing she did was thank God. It was a practice of hers anyway, to thank and to praise God, and she did that. She said, Lord, something special has happened. It is being fulfilled right now before our eyes. The consolation of Israel, the peace, the completion is right here, and I'm a part of it, and thank you for that, Lord. She thanked the Lord, and then she spread the word, because the end of that passage said she went and told people. She told those who were looking, said, He's here. The consolation of Israel, the Redeemer of the people, is here, and He's a little baby. And she didn't, she didn't run out and go, I need to figure out how to tell people. I need to sign up for a class on evangelism. I need to know how to relate so I won't say the wrong thing and just kind of, mess up and make it worse than as if we could thwart God's plan forever by saying the wrong thing. God's much bigger than that. And I'm not saying signing up for a class is bad. It's good. But the point is, she did it as an overflow of her excitement, as an overflow of all the time that she had spent in the temple hearing the word and praising and fasting and praying. And she went out and told people. That's what the passage says. And so what can we learn from Anna? Not just to help us on Christmas, but to help us every day. Well, the first thing is that she immersed herself in the Word of God. The Word of God was a part of her life. Let me say that another way. The Word of God was immersed in every part of her life. It wasn't just, I've got this temple over here, and then I've got my other interest here, here, and here, and here. The Word of God was her interest. Now, that's not to say we ought to leave our church doors open and we ought to be here 24/7 every single day. But what it is to say is that the Word of God should penetrate every area of our life, and that should be the priority in every part of our life. And she immersed herself in the Word of God, and then she devoted herself to a lifestyle of prayer and praise. It said she was in the temple praising and fasting every day. And so prayer is not just a matter of saying words, but prayer is a lifestyle of dependence upon God and being in the presence, which is the essence of what Christmas really is. It's God's presence among us. And then as an overflow of the fact that she was immersing herself in the Word and she was committed to, devoted to a lifestyle of prayer, the overflow is that she went and told other people. She was able, to receive this baby Jesus with joy. And really, isn't that what Christmas is all about? Now, think with me. Here's Anna the prophetess. She's old in years, but she's not old in heart. And she was in the temple. And she saw that commotion that was going on there with Simeon and with Mary and Joseph and with Jesus and probably a few other people. In the midst of all the goings on, this was happening there. And it says, coming up to them, the Bible says, at that very moment. Think about that. At that very moment. Right when Simeon was taking the baby Jesus and talking to Mary and to Joseph about Jesus and proclaiming and praising God because of Jesus. It says, at that very moment, Anna realized something. It said, came to them at that very moment. And I think that at that very moment, perhaps all the words that she had heard in the temple, all the prayers that she had prayed, all the praising that she had done, somehow funneled down to that very moment when she realized that this baby was far more unique than any baby that had ever been born at any point in time in the history of the world. That he was a special child. That Jesus Christ is not just the consolation of Israel, but that He is the Savior of the world. And at that very moment, I think, when she began to grasp that Jesus, who this little baby was, at that very moment, she experienced a Christmas for all the ages, no matter what age we are. And you see, we're connected, in a way, to Anna of the tribe of Asher. We're linked because this little baby that she was because of this little baby that she was admiring and that she was talking about. And we're connected because, you see, we too can immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And we can pray. And we can praise. And we can tell others about how this little baby grew up and all the story of his life and how he is now preparing a place for us. There's a seat at the banquet table of heaven that's reserved for all of his children, because that's what he's doing right now. And the same God that did something wonderful that day in Anna's life is with us. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. What a Christmas for all ages. And I like to think that when I get Anna's age, if I get Anna's age, that my Christmas would be as special as her Christmas. And I hope that for all of us, that Jesus Christ would mean more over the years to us than He does now. And that we would give thanks to God. And that we would proclaim Him to others as Emmanuel, the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Christmas. We thank You that the essence of Christmas is the presence of Your Son. We thank You for this story of Anna and for her example. We thank You that she was praying and that she was fasting and she was devoted to that and she was immersing herself in the Word. And also, Your Word says that the Spirit was present there. And in the same way, Your Holy Spirit is present in our lives. And He acts upon the Word. And I pray that He might do that so that we would be able to continue to experience the joy of Christmas down to its very core. And that it would last with us in spite of anything that we go through. Not just this season, but every season of our lives. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.